A schoolboy holds a leather ball in a photograph on a bedroom wall. The bed is made, the curtains drawn, as silence greets the break of dawn.
On the 15th of April 1989, 25,000 Liverpool fans left Merseyside to watch their team play Notts Forest in an FA Cup semi-final at Sheffield Wednesday's home ground of Hillsborough.
It was my first away match as a Liverpool fan. So it was all brand new to me. It was, it was just waking up and couldn't wait, butterflies in the stomach and, great occasion, just sort of waiting to go down and meet my mates and get down there,
It was a beautiful day, it was the middle of April and the sun was so bright and the sky was so clear, there was a fella selling sunglasses and saying a pound a pair to keep out the glare.
Kevin was a happy kid. He went to all the matches, but if you'd seen him when he was going, he was made up. And the last word he said to me was 3-0. 3-0, mum, we're going to win this.
It was like deja vu, really. Same team, same venue, same weather. Yeah, and then, obviously, as the day unfolded, we all know what happened, man.
What no one knew that day was that 96 of those Liverpool fans would never come home.
Absolute chaos here at the moment. A good start, but we have chaos with fans on the field, I'm afraid to say. Now, just when Liverpool supporters have had the inkling of a chance to get back into Europe, we've got problems.
Killarney resident John Booth was in the stands that day.
Even outside the ground, you could notice a crowd gathering. But we usually at Anfield, it was the same in them days. They gathered outside, so no one really took too much of a notice. A friend of mine was down below in the actual area. Me and another friend were up above. He was waving to us. The game kicked off. Peter Beardsley had a shot. It hit the bar. That's when people started realising something wasn't right, because as the crowd pushed forward, more pushed in. And you could hear cries for help with people with nowhere to go. It was like shoving too many clothes into a washing machine. We did not know the extent of what was happening, because once they stopped the game, they started taking people out the stands. What the police were telling everyone then was, go back to your coaches. And we were saying, but there's a friend of ours that's missing. There was people coming out from everywhere, so it was near enough impossible to spot someone. But we were listening on the radio what was going on.
Well, the latest is that we've got a scene like something out of a Chinese New Year celebration that's gone wrong, because what's happening is that the advertising hoardings are being used to ferry people across the field, and people going across as stuttering footsteps across the field in a procession just to get injured people to ambulances. A very serious situation here indeed at Hillsborough.
Slowly but surely it was coming through. There might be 20 dead, there might be 30 dead, And you'd be saying to yourself, because we tossed for the tickets, so you were questioning yourself. Just as we were about to start leaving, we found the lad. When I got home, my mother, she just gave me a big hug and said, thank God it's not you.
These should have been such special times for a boy. We'd not be in his prime. But spring forever turned to grey in the Yorkshire sun that April day.
Ian Crawford lost a close friend in the disaster and still finds it tough to recall the day that changed his life forever.
It was a lovely sunny day. 2:30, the players were out warming up on the pitch, and we just saw, as you look down the tunnel, you can just about see the pitch, you can see the little bit of the blue sky, and you just think, great, let's get down there, let's watch the match, let's enjoy ourselves. We just strolled into the middle pen, and from there the crowd started to just build up and build up until it started to become uncomfortable, and beyond uncomfortable, it became unbearable. At one point, I was afraid that I was going to lose my leg, the crush was that bad on the leg. And at that point also, I'd lost touch with the other two guys. And survival does kick in. You have a survival instinct that you go through where you just think, I need to get out of here. And I lost all thoughts of the friends that I was with. I lost all thoughts of the people around me. And subsequently, I knew that I was standing on other people's bodies as I was desperately trying to get out myself. But, whilst you're not proud of having done things like that, there was nothing you could do to prevent it. You couldn't bend down to pick people up. Your one and only thought at that point was, I must survive. I'd fallen sideways by this point. I'd lost a shoe. I'd lost my glasses. I'd had, people were using me as a human springboard to get out. But thankfully, two of the police guys there dragged me through the gate and put me onto the pitch, where I passed out.
Between the bars, an arm is raised. Amidst a human tidal wave, a body too frail to fight for breath is drowned below a sea of dead.
I could see other people being brought in on stretchers and on the advertising boards. The feeling that you have at the time is, well, thank God that I've got out of that. Bearing in mind, I was on my own amongst, you know, hundreds or however many people, but I didn't know any of them. You just start overhearing conversations about, oh, there's 20 dead, there's 40 dead. And then at one point, you know, when it got up to something in the region of 60 or 70, I just sat there with my head in my hands, you know, with tears flooding down. I think it was the sort of realization of how lucky you were. The guys I was with eventually found me. There was actually a chap from Sheffield who he'd taken them around all of the different hospitals, different possible places that the missing guy, Alan Johnston, where he may have been. By the time that they'd come back for the second time to the Northern General, still not found him, there was one last place that he could be, which was back at the stadium amongst the not-so-lucky ones. And we arrived back at the stadium when a couple of the guys had to go into the temporary morgue, which was the gymnasium at the stadium, where apparently they'd posted the pictures of the victims on a notice board outside, but those pictures were unrecognisable. So one of my pals, a guy called John, he had the unenviable task of having to go in and look at some of the bodies to see if he could identify Alan. And unfortunately, Alan was one of the bodies that was there in the gymnasium. John carries that with him to this day, obviously having to identify Alan, who had only just got engaged just, I think, a few months before a particular day.
On April the 15th every year, when all is calm and skies are clear, beneath a glowing Yorkshire moon, a lone Scots piper plays a tune.
The journey back in the dark, of course, was just pure silence. It was getting on for midnight, but quite a few of the regulars who knew what had gone on were there. My wife and my daughter, who's 4 months old, they all made sure, stayed and waited for me to arrive. And you can imagine the emotional reunion with parents and wife, daughter and friends.
Although the Taylor report found many failings that led to the disaster, no one has ever been held responsible.
The campaign for justice continues 21 years on. I think all anybody is looking for really is some closure and for somebody to finally say we were wrong. If they were to just come out and say, we know the facts now and the facts say that we were wrong, we admit we were wrong and we'd like to apologise, that would go a long way towards helping people like me, helping people like the families of those that lost their lives, to just move on and to find some closure. Thankfully nowadays, particularly in football stadiums, these types of situations are far less likely to happen. That's the positive consequence of tragedies like Hillsborough.
The tune rings out the justice cause, then blows due west across the moors. It passes by the eternal flame, then engulfs a young boy's picture frame.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet sound.